brief message this evening. I feel like the Lord's laid on my heart, and it's different than normal because I've not got an outline. I don't always have an outline, about probably 80% of the time I do. But tonight I do not. All I have is some scriptures and thoughts, and so because of that, it's hard to take notes on a message like this, but I do want you to listen. And this is some very simple truth that we all know and should know, but the Lord has fixed this thing so that in church you hear the same truth repeated over and over and over in your Christian life. The reason we have to hear them over and over and over is because our flesh pulls away from God. Just because you get it straight today don't mean it's going to be straight next week. It'll pull away, drift away. And so you have to constantly be admonished and rebuked and put in line with the Word of God. And that's why He gave us a Bible. That's why He didn't just save you and leave you on, go on and forget about you. You need help and guidance as you go on your Christian life. And the book of John chapter 13 is one, what I feel like, one of the greatest verses in the New Testament. And verse 34, John 13, 34 and 35 are some of the greatest verses in the entire New Testament. And I'd like to preach to you about it tonight. A new commandment I give unto you. See, in the Old Testament they had all these commandments about washing of things and ordinances and animal sacrifices and things like that. And the Lord says, I'm going to give you a new one. That you love one another. As I loved you. I'll give y'all just a second to get these babies quiet now. So everybody's got to be able to hear. Okay? Everybody's got to be able to hear. Let's read it again, verse 34. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. That's a commandment. It is a commandment for a Christian to love other Christians. Command. You don't have a choice. It's not like, well, Lord, I love so-and-so, but I don't love so-and-so. Verse 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. The church is held together by love. That's what holds us together, our love for the Lord and for each other. Just like mortars holding these blocks on these outside walls. Just like screws and nails that are holding this furniture together in here tonight. Just like glue is holding this carpet down to the floor. Our love that we have for the Lord and each other is what holds the church together. If we lose that love, we're not even a church. We're just a bunch of heathen in here gathered together tonight. A lot of people don't understand, but a building with a steeple on it don't make a church. A building with a cross in front of it with stained glass windows, we don't even have a cross or stained glass windows. Doesn't make a church. It's the people inside that building that love one another that make the Lord's body. In 1 John 4:12, he said, if we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. Leviticus 19:18. Command, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Have you ever thought about, if you love your neighbor like you love yourself, you'll automatically keep all the other commandments. I mean, if you love your neighbor as you love yourself, you're not going to steal something that's his. If you love your neighbor like you love yourself, you're not going to burn his house down. If you love your neighbor like you love yourself, you're not going to kill him. If you love your neighbor like you love yourself, you're not going to destroy his property. So it's all comprehended in that phrase, just love your neighbor as you love yourself. Now, we're short on this in our day and time. Our generation talks more about love, to have the least of it, as any generation has ever been. We all sing in churches how we love the Lord, how we love the Lord. And somebody said, you're for the Lord can be determined by the love that you have for the person that you love the least. And I hope and pray that ain't true, but that's what some great person said. Your love for the Lord is measured by the love that you have for the person that you love the least. How much you love the Lord. Lord, I hope that ain't true. But they say it is. That's not in the Bible. But it's a great thing to think about. Something to think about. Mark 12:30. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God. If I love the Lord tonight, then I'm not going to want to go against Him. If I love the Lord tonight, then it's going to hurt me when I sin against Him. If I love the Lord tonight, and I'm not talking about this mushy kind of love the world talks about. I'm talking about really loving Lord. Some people evidently don't know what love is because they can just do anything against the Lord and it don't even seem to bother them at all and claim to love the Lord. It's mind-boggling to think about that people who stand on TV and on these country shows and stuff and play and sing in honky-tonks and bar rooms and people dancing, you know, and everything, and then say, yes, I love the Lord. I don't know about that. That's wild, you know. I don't see how you can love the Lord and enjoy things that grieve the Lord. I don't see how you can love the Lord and feel it comfortable in an atmosphere that God don't approve of. I don't see how you can love the Lord and feel good with people taking His name in vain and cursing and drinking and wife swapping and everything else, and it not bother you. It not bother you. That ought to bother you. If you love the Lord, sin should bother you. Now listen, I've been saved a long time. I've never got to the place where I don't sin. I never have, and you haven't either. But buddy, I have come to the place where I can't sin without it bothering me. It bothers me when I sin. And that's the way you know you're saved. The way you know you're saved is when you do something wrong, it'll drive you crazy until you get it right with God. We need to love one another. In Colossians 2:2, the Bible says that our hearts could be knit together in love. Knit together in love. Now you think about, look at the words the Holy Ghost chose. The word knit. If you'll look at anything you got on now, like these shirts these boys got on up here, these knit shirts, this jacket, I reckon, I don't know. It looks like somebody's took some different kinds, colors of threads, and you know, just stuck them between each other and wove them together, and they make a garment like that. And the Bible said that's the way our hearts are supposed to be. Like the Lord's supposed to be able to take His pen and stick it through my heart, and then come through here and stick it through Brother Gordon's heart. Then come over here and stick it through Jonathan's heart, and then Jeff's heart, and then Brother John's heart, and then Brother Dean's heart, and then Brother Nolan's heart, and sew every one of us up together. We're all supposed to be knit together in love. Ain't that right? Now, the only way that we can love each other the way we're supposed to is to keep our hearts tender with God. You people that are married, you know what I'm talking about, don't you? You know, aren't you married for a while? You have a little spat. I've heard people say, we never had an argument, but we've had a little spat. Now, you tell me what's the difference. But that's what people say. Monitor off, Brother Roy. And they say, we've never had a fuss. We've had a few disagreements. Well, what is the difference in that, you know? A disagreement, no, you don't. Yes, it did. No, you don't. Yes, it did. No, you do not. I do, too. Well, oh, never mind. I don't want to talk about it. You call that whatever you want to. But I'll tell you what it does. It's a little wedge in there. And it puts a little hard feelings in there, don't it? First thing you know, there's like a little wall up between you and your husband or your wife. And then if you're not careful, that thing will grow. If you're not careful, it'll get bigger. And the Bible said, husbands, love your wives. But the Bible said, women should teach the younger women to love their husbands. So it's the Lord's will for a woman to love her husband. And if you're not careful, you'll have hard feelings come up between each other. First thing you know, you'll get to where you can't stand each other. Next thing you know, you'll say, I wish I'd have never married you. Next thing you know, you'll be saying, I'm just going to endure it because it's right. And I'm just going to tough it out because God said we're supposed to. Now listen, you know what you need to do when you get in that shape? You know what? You get in a good old service when God's Spirit moves on the scene And when the Lord starts blessing and the power of God starts coming, you start thinking, man, I tell you what, it was my fault. No, it wasn't. It was mine. No, it wasn't. It was mine. And you squeeze hands. And the next thing you know, all that old stuff goes away. The Bible said love covereth the multitude of sin. And you start thinking, hey, I don't deserve you. And you start thinking, no, I don't deserve you. And you start thinking, oh, let's just forget it and be friends again. And all that kind of stuff. And you fix it up. That's what holds a marriage together. That's what holds a church together. That's what holds any work or thing ordained of God together is our love. Our love. You know what everybody in here needs to do? Let the Lord soften your heart tonight and love your brother and your sister. Get on the altar and let God soften your heart. Don't wait till something terrible happens. Don't wait till somebody dies and say, I wish I'd have been nice to them. Don't wait till somebody is bad in the hospital and then go apologize to them out of guilt. Love them tonight. Husbands and wives, get right with each other tonight. Fathers and children and grandchildren and brothers and sisters and people in here, get right with each other tonight. I've said this over and over and over. I've said this for 19 years in this church. And I want to say it again tonight. If there's anything in between me and anybody in here, anybody, I don't care who it is, if I've done something to offend you or hurt you, if you'll let me know, I'll do what I can to make it right. I don't want nothing between me and no Christian in this world. I want to be right with every one of my brothers and sisters. And if you don't come and tell me it's your fault, it's your fault. You say, well, Brother Danny told me something a long time ago, and he never did do what he told me. Well, come tell, ask me about it. I forgot it. Maybe I've seen something in you that made me change my mind. Come and ask me. Ask me. Tell me. I'll tell you one thing. I don't want to be one of these people that have to say, oh, no, there's so-and-so. Oh, no, there's so-and-so. Oh, no. I'd hate to be you people that have to avoid people and you're a Christian. Oh, no, I don't want to see her. I don't want to talk to her. I want to be able to look anybody in here eyeball to eyeball. And if there's something wrong between me and you, let's go down there to the altar and get it right, man. Life's too short not to love each other and hold grudges and act a big baby. Amen? Amen. Is the church not... Well, boy, that is close. It's hard to say, not far from here. Lord have mercy. There's churches all over this place where people come to the same church every week. I know a church not far from here, 10, 15 miles probably, where a man didn't like the preacher, and he'd come and teach Sunday school, and then when the preacher got up to preach, he'd get up and walk out. Or lead the choir, and then get up and walk out before the preacher preached. Well, I tell you, I love Brother John. Me and him get along great. But if it come to play, if he ever just led the singing and then left, me and him would have to have a little chat. I'd say, hey, brother, what's wrong? Let's get this thing right. I want nothing between me and you. You can sense it, can't you? Can't you feel it when somebody kind of got hurt at you or something like that? Let's get it right, people. Let's get it right. That's one way you know you're saved, brother. It's because you've passed from death into life. Because you love the brethren. Can't you tell the difference? I mean, before I got saved, I mean, I didn't care if people liked me or didn't. I wasn't a troublemaker, but I didn't care like I do now. It bothers me now if I'm not right with somebody. It removes fear. The Bible said in 1 John 4:18, there is no fear in love, for perfect love casteth out fear. The Bible said in 1 Peter 2:17, love the brotherhood. The Bible said in Hebrews 13:1, let brotherly love continue. The Bible said in 1 John 4:7, let us love one another, for love is of God. The Bible said in 1 John 5, by this we know that we're the children of God when we love God and keep His commandment. I remember reading about David over there. I've been reading that recently. About David and Jonathan. How they was just like that. David and Jonathan. All the love that they had for each other. Their hearts were knit together. That's a picture of two Christians having fellowship. David and Jonathan. And brother, they were knit together. They were stuck together. You know what will make New Man of Christian School a success? Lord willing, in the fall, if all of us workers and staff and teachers and everybody, if our hearts are knit together in love, if the kid come together and say, hey, we love each other. We're not going to go out and talk about our school. We're not going to go out and say, I wish I didn't have to go to this place. We're not going to go out and do this. We're going to love one another. You know what will make camp a blessing this year? If the love of God is all over that place. I'm going to talk about camp in a little bit, but you know, I've noticed at camp, we'd be having trouble, 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 trouble. Kids won't behave. Some of them won't do what they're told. Won't want to talk during the church services. And just as soon as God's power moved in and everybody goes all and makes things right, we have no trouble the rest of the week. That's what's wrong in churches. Somebody had love that knew no boundaries. That's Jesus' love. Love that spurned the cost. Love that pierced the darkness, seeking for the lost. Love that wrought redemption there on Calvary. Praise His name forever. His love included me. You know what somebody said one time? They said love is blind. And I know what they meant when they said that. They mean like when, you know, like when two people are in love, they can't see any of their faults. That's what they meant. But really, love isn't blind. Really, real love sees everything about the person and loves them anyway. That's what God's love is. God's not blind. God sees our faults, knows our faults, knows every wicked thing about us, and loves us anyway. That's real love. Real love is not blind. Real love sees what's wrong with the individual and loves them anyway. Thank God, that's the kind of love we need. That's God's love. Fleshly love just loves something, and if it loves them back or love for what they can do for them. Real love loves the object whether it loves it back or not. Love can hide the scar when it cannot heal it. I've known people going through marriage troubles, and I'm sorry for them. My heart goes out to them. I'm thinking of a man, woman right now. They almost separated, and God done a miracle and put this home. As a matter of fact, they did separate. God put the home back together. And the husband committed an awful sin. And that wife, through the love of God, forgive that man. You say, I just don't think I could ever forgive somebody. Yet, with God's love, you can do it. And she forgave that man, and God blessed them. And they wound up together and serving God and doing right as long as they were married. Till the man was killed. I'm telling you, the real love will do it. We're coming up to youth camp season now, and I'm just going to talk to you out of my heart for a minute. In 1987, New Manna Youth Camp began. This will be our 10th year, I think. Right? They said 8, 9, 9, 1, 9, 2, 9, 3, 9, 4, 9, 5, 6. 10th year. God has put His hand on our youth camp. You know, I hear a lot of people say, well, Brother Danny, a lot of people ask me about missions. And they say, how much our church give to mission? And we don't have, that's really kind of a false report that we have in mission, because a lot of the money goes through the church and helping missionaries and stuff like that. Did you know our youth camp is a mission, people? Our youth, we need to look at it like that. It is one of the greatest home mission work that I know anything about. If you don't believe it, talk to preacher. Talk to Brother McGahee when he comes up here from Florida. They believe that. Matter of fact, we have one or two churches now, I think, who support our youth camp as an added ministry, as a home mission. That means that you can add what we give in the mission probably easily another $50,000 a year because of what goes into that youth camp. And I want to tell you tonight, you say, well, I just don't look at it as a mission because right here, listen, there's people coming here from all over the eastern United States. There have been churches changed. There have been lives changed. We see about 100 kids saved every summer. We see about 10 young men called to preach every summer. Some of those kids get in the glory that they've never seen before, never been around before. They've never seen anything. We got kids in Texas who have youth camp around in Texas with nicer facilities and bigger grounds and everything and drive 24 hours to come out here and sleep four to a bed just to get their kids around the glory of God that comes down at our camp. I tell you, we better not take it lightly. And we better not say, oh, well, another summer camp. Man, I hate to go out there and work. We better say, glory to God in heaven. Hallelujah to God in heaven. He has blessed us, little New Manna Baptist Church, little Marion, North Carolina. Hey, it's no accident God put our church right here, over there close to that lake. It's no accident that that property came available. It's no accident that the Lord laid it on our heart to begin a youth camp 10 years ago. All of that is a plan of God. All of that is in the will of God. And boy, we need to love that thing and love it, the work of God, and invest in the lives of those young people like we never have before in this year of 1996. We need to pray for it. Listen, if we love like we ought to, pray. I'm asking people tonight, pray for the youth camp. There's a lot of you, you can't stand the heat. You say, there's no way in the world I can work out there. I can't stand the heat. I mean, you, it gets hot, man. It gets hot. And in that kitchen, it's 20 degrees hotter than whatever it is outside. It's 90, it's 110 in there, it seemed like. But oh, if we had some people that would just pray, and just pray, and just pray, and say, oh God, bless those kids. Oh God, put your love down deep in their heart. Oh God, fill them with your spirit. Oh God, save the one which is lost. Oh God, heaven come down. Glory, fill their soul. Listen, if the love of God's in us like it ought to be, we'll love that ministry that God's given us out there on the lake. I don't know if you realize it or not. I probably don't even realize it. But that CD that I was listening to last night is a result of youth camp. That song this young lady sung a while ago is largely a result of youth camp. Our first week will be a week from tomorrow. The bus kids are going. Everybody here ought to visit during bus week. Bus kids camp. Man, I like the bus kids at camp. I don't get to stay because I have the other 3 days and I have to stay, but I love to go out there when they're out there. Brother Bruce usually has me come out and preach one of the services, and man, it's a trip, really. Everybody here ought to go. You ought to just go. You know what I like about them bus kids? They ain't sissies. They ain't sissies. They come in there, buddy. I mean, they ain't scared to put a worm on a hook. I've been out there and seen them before. It's pouring the rain. Bless their heart. It always rains for bus camp. About 2 days out of three. And there'd be 15 or 20 of them standing there and it pouring the rain with their fishing poles. And out there, and just drowned, man. Standing there, water just dripping off of them. And over here, you got another carrying a snake and beating it, you know, beating its head. Snakes. They get all the snakes. There's all kinds of snakes out there the first week. After the first week, there's no snakes. That's true. That's true. Snakes, you know, they won't stay around where there's a lot of people running around. There's a lot of snakes out there right now. I think somebody told me your wife, Brother Jay. She went out there. Is that work? Is that right? Raise your hand over our sister. She killed a snake with a lawnmower out there the other day. Some of you men ought to be ashamed making that woman out there mow that grass. My goodness. Where was you, Jay? He's using the weed eater. Weed whacking. Is that what you call it? She hit a big snake and took off running and went to the house, what I heard. But there's snakes out there right now. There's snakes. Snakes are a blessing when they're dead. As long as you kill them. And you know what? Them bus kids get rid of them things. They really do. They get rid of them things. Oh, you ought to go out there and enjoy the services with them. I like to hear them sing. Man, they'll sing. Big R gets his guitar. A bunch of them gets Brother Jack and his beautiful tenor voice starts leading them. And brother, you never heard such singing in your life. The joy of the Lord is my strength, you know, or something like that. I mean to tell you, they sing. They have a time. They fish. Y'all pray for them. It scares me to death when they fish. One time there's a little boy out there. He's going to cast, you know, and he goes like this, and he hooked another one's eyelid just like that. Barely. Hooked out his eyelid just like that. Brother Bruce claims that he caught a catfish out there at the camp. that was so big. See, the whole time he's out there, he don't even go to services. He just fishes. I've never seen him in a service when I was out there yet. That's why he has 95 counselors and 85 kids. So he can just... No, I'm just kidding. He said he caught a catfish that was so big that it broke a line. Isn't that what you said, bro? Big R said it. He said you said it. Big R sets his poles around the lake like this. And then getting the kids go around and get them, mess them up. But I tell you what, that's a blessing, brother. That's a blessing. Man, you know, when I'm out there, because I don't fish no way, but it's a blessing. You ought to get, that's a ministry. Do you know some of them kids look forward to that all year, and some of them never even been and seen Lake James? They think it's the Atlantic Ocean, man. It's the highlight of their summer. And the greatest thing is them little boys and girls walks down that aisle and bows in that old hole in that concrete out there. And brother asks the Lord to come in their heart and really get saved. Usually they have 20 or 25 or 30 saved every year. Thank God for a mission like that. Amen. We've seen people baptized. I think we baptized a bunch last year, 15 or something like that, 20-something the year before that. And, I mean, couldn't even wait till they got home. Called home, their pastor baptized them right there in the lake. I'll never forget that night. The glory came down out there July 21st, 1994. And it always happens after you've had something real. We had a terrible service the night before. I mean, it was awful. It was dead. It was tight. Things went bad all day. That night, we got in there and started singing. You could tell. You ever went to church service and you could tell, like the youth rally or something? I mean, you could tell from the first song, buddy. It was on. It was God just all over that place. People got a hold of God. People prayed. And God was there. We started off singing, I think it was Victory in Jesus. And man, the Lord's Spirit started moving. And next thing we know, people started coming to the altar. And we went to about 10 o'clock that night. Didn't ever even have any preaching. I don't know how many got right, how many got saved. Youth groups were changed. Churches were changed as a result of that one service that night. Boys went out there shouting, a bunch of little old boys. See, a lot of times when God gets around, these little kids don't know what to do with themselves. They really don't. There's little boys this high, 9, 10 years old, 11 years old, 12, was out there shouting, running off. They went out there and got in a bunch of bees. And they was out there shouting in the woods. About that time, someone was coming in, jerking their shirts off like that. And man, big old pot spots on their shoulders. They got in a bee's nest. And I don't know if the Lord probably wasn't in a million miles of that. But I tell you what, that's something they'll never forget at camp, I guarantee you. Before we built the tabernacle, we had them benches on that hill. And son, it was slick out there. It was slick. Especially when it rained, you know, just the dirt, I mean, the grass would be mashed down and you couldn't hardly walk out there. If you just went out to go to the bathroom, right down to the altar you'd go. I mean, once you went out the altar, your feet go out from under you. I think some of them never intended to go to the altar. They hit the altar, yes, what are you coming for, friend? Get down here and pray, you know. Somebody be there dealing with them. But I tell you, we've seen God do some things. Brother Mays Jackson came out there and preached a few years ago. They brought him down. He said he believed that was, he preached with his back to the water there. Said he believed that was about the closest he ever preached to water. I mean, you've heard preachers use illustration. God blessed that place in a mighty way. It's a mission. If we had a man in our church, one man who was working all over the United States with young people and getting them saved, and train them and teach them and letting them see. See, that's what y'all, our church, don't understand. When these other kids from other states come in, they see God moving and other young people on fire. It makes an impression. It's not like me going to their church and preaching. When I go to their church and preach, I just preach to them and they get it. I mean, they get saved. But boy, when they see it and other young people getting on fire, it has an effect on them like nothing you ever seen. Guess what? If we had a missionary that could do that, it'd be everything we could give them. And we do. And it's our youth camp. 60 churches a year probably come. I got off subject a little bit about love, but if we love God, we're going to love them kids. If we love God, we're going to love His work. We get so selfish and wrapped up in our own world. I read a verse of Scripture the other day. I've been reading in Luke. Man, it got hold of me like I ain't had one in a long time. It said, "Beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not the abundance of things that he possesseth." Beware of just your own house, your own yard, your own car, your own bills, your own family. You better think about somebody else, because God will take care of you. True love, the Bible says, loves our neighbor like we love ourselves. True love removes offenses. 5:13, you've been called under liberty. Only use not this liberty for occasion of the flesh, but by love serve one another. True love. Christians are taught by God to love each other. 1 Thessalonians 4:9. There's one thing Marion ought to know about our church. They might not like the things we do. They may not like the things we believe. But there's one thing people in Mexico ought to say about our church. Behold how they love each other. They say one thing about that bunch up there, that they love each other. How about it tonight? You go to work bad-mouthing people in your church. If there's one thing to be a testimony to this world, it's when they see us love each other. They're going to say God's bound to be in that bunch of people. Do we? Let's stand together and bow our heads for prayer. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Something you need to get fixed tonight. Maybe husbands and wives slip out, come to the altar. Dad, daughter, son, man. Let the love of God help you. You don't serve God by just a bunch of rules and regulations. You serve Him because you love Him. And the only way you can live a Christian life is because you have love in your heart. You do it by yourself. You don't have the ability. Ask God. Put His love in your heart for that person that you don't like tonight. Ask Him right now. Lord, help me love them. Lord, help me love that person and show it. Do something nice for them. Do something nice. You say, are you kidding? No, I'm not kidding. Do something nice for them. Fix something for them. Jesus' name we pray. Amen.